House Committee on Judiciary, January 19th, 1987. Full Committee, organizational meeting.
Chair and Committee, I'll come to order, please. We have a half committee, pardon me, a full committee meeting for the first half hour to discuss some administrative matters and also to consider our rules. While we're sort of settling down here and prepare to take up the rules, and our chief clerk is here to assist us in that discussion if necessary, I just want to go through a couple things that I'm not sure if we touched on, sort of housekeeping matters. One has to do with a coffee fund. I think most members and visitors that enjoy the fact that we're able to have coffee to help us get through our deliberations. Past practice has been for members who care to utilize the coffee fund to make a contribution of $5 per member, and that'll generally carry us through the session. So Glenda will handle that, and we'll just kind of leave it up to the individual members to reimburse Glenda if they wish to partake of the coffee. Bill files, in the past, I think members are familiar with the practice where each member will keep his or her bill files rather than asking staff to do that. Staff, to be honest, just has too much to do, and it's worked well during my four terms, and I see no reason to change. So we'll continue to request members to keep their own bill files and bring them to the meetings. As far as minutes, if members really, and underscore really, want a copy, let Glenda know. Otherwise, to save on Xeroxing and other copying costs, we always do keep a copy available in the committee office. But again, if you feel that your subcommittee or your full committee, you would desire those minutes, let Glenda know, and I know they'll be glad to provide them. As far as phone messages, it has been the practice not to interrupt members during the committee meetings unless it is urgent. There's going to be a phone message board just inside the office door there, and if you want to take an unscheduled break and check those if you're expecting any, just let us know. As far as excused absences, if members would try to follow the procedure we established last session and I think previous sessions, if you can anticipate that you're going to be absent, please check in with me. Just a short note will do, so we'll know. Or if it's going to be a subcommittee that you're not going to be able to attend, please let the chair know as much in advance as possible. As far as the introduction of committee bills, in the past, members have been requested to deliver the bill to committee staff the day before the bill is introduced in committee. And if you can, we should try to let the staff know who's requesting the legislation or where the bill originated, since we're required by our rules to, and House rules as well as committee rules, which we'll be considering, to list the requester. In terms of scheduling for the rest of the week, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're going to be meeting with the Senate for an overview of the Task Force on Liability Insurance work product. Our counsel, Ms. Weber, and the co-chairs of that task force, Senator Thorne and Representative Shiprock and others, I think, will be testifying. Obviously, that issue is coming to this committee a little bit further down the road, and I really believe and want to urge everyone to plan on attending that briefing tomorrow between 3 and 5 with the Senate committee. The rest of the week, though we haven't posted the agendas yet, let me advise you that subcommittee number 2, the Crime and Corrections Subcommittee, will be meeting on Wednesday all afternoon, beginning with the Department of Corrections bill and other corrections division / department issues. Subcommittee number 3, Family Law Subcommittee, will be meeting on Thursday all afternoon. The full committee will meet again from 1:30 till 2 on Friday for possible introduction of bills, and then Subcommittee 1 will meet the balance of Friday. So that's our rough schedule for the rest of the week. We'll get that posted and in the calendar as soon as we can. We will try to get our subcommittee meeting days worked out as far as in advance as possible so members can plan accordingly. And subcommittee chairs, myself, will be meeting later this week to discuss that with staff. I think that's it in terms of just some administrative and housekeeping matters I wanted to review. We will probably, for the first several weeks, have the full committee meeting once, possibly twice a week, briefly for perhaps half an hour for bill introduction. That's the only work I see in full committee in the first month or so of the session. If you do need any assistance or help from staff in terms of bill drafting or introduction, just let us know. We provided that courtesy in the past, and we want to do so in the future. there's no further discussion on that, I want to go ahead and take up the proposed committee rules. And Mr. Taylor, I guess I'd ask you to review a couple of the points that...
I'd just like to make one comment, and the fact that on page 2, 9E, there's a typographical error. It says House Rules, it should say House Rules 9.04, and in parentheses, so 01, excuse me, and in parentheses 4. Strike the 1, and it's not 14.
Could you say that again? You lost me.
Okay, it would be House Rule 9.01 and in parentheses 4.
Yes.
That's what mine says.
Okay, it should read 9.04.
01.
Oh,
pardon me. 9.01.
01.
Strike out the 4. Okay. All clear on that. I think it's fair to say that the most significant change from the rules adopted by the committee last session relate to on page 3, section 15, the minority report, and a couple changes there require two signatures on the minority report, no member signing on more than one minority report on the same bill, and also to require that an LC draft be filed with the minority as the minority report. And this is a matter which has been discussed, I believe, in the adoption of other committee rules. And because we anticipate there might be some question about it, we have asked the chief clerk to be present in case there were any questions to which she could respond. And Representative Hanlon, I believe you would make the motion to adopt the rules as proposed.
So moved.
Okay, Representative Hanlon moves adoption of the committee rules as proposed and distributed to members. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
What would you review? You indicated the filing of an LC draft.
Right.
The change, how is that a change?
Past practice has not been to require an LC draft, and the information that has come to me from our counsel, who had to work on that issue on several occasions last session, now Representative Berea, is that it imposed an often impossible task upon staff to comply with the deadlines that are required in our rules and in House rules to file the minority report with the clerk's office, because on a few occasions the minority report itself was not in LC form, and what that meant was that often the minority report might be in writing or it might be conceptual, and the task then fell to counsel at a time when they might be the busiest to have to take the idea or concept or rough form down to LC, try to get it prepared in a form consistent with what the minority report members had requested, and then to try to again comply with the deadlines for filing. And it was the suggestion of staff that it would just be much easier procedurally and more expeditious if individuals who wish to file a minority report, when they submit that report, they could do so in LC form.
That's for the submitting of it by that deadline.
That's correct.
Well, then could I ask the interpretation? Staff is supposed to be here to assist the drafting committees. Now
right.
Might we see the situation where staff could say, until you bring it to me in LC form, I'm not going to help you?
I can't speak for staff. That's not the intent of the rule change. I think staff is ready and willing to help whenever they can, but the problem that arose, as I understand from staff's perspective, and I defer to staff if they want to make any additional comments, is that you know, when they're presented with information that's not in any kind of bill draft form or LC form, that is not only an imposition, but it's often impossible to try to comply with the time limits that are set down in our rules and in the House rules. So it's to try to make the work of the committee as well as staff more efficient. It's not intended to limit the minority reports in any way, but just to try to make the process function more effectively. And I think staff would acknowledge that they are going to try to assist in any way they can, but it's not their responsibility to prepare the LC draft, particularly when they're operating under very tight time constraints and under a workload that's pretty heavy when these things sometimes arise. Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, on that same point,
I know the Legislative Council is always as cooperative as possible in drafting, but I have had minority work at times in the past where it was difficult for them to get it out on a deadline. And one question I'd have, if a member of the committee, for example, wanted to do drafting themselves, as long as it was generally an LC form, can you then go down there and simply have them put an LC number on it for you?
I would hate to give you an ironclad yes on that. It seems reasonable to me, and I think Mr. Clifford and his staff would do the best that they could in those circumstances.
Mr. Chairman, the primary concern I have, and I understand the need to protect our staff from too much workload at a particular time, but LC, Legislative Council, gives priority to the majority report. Mm-hmm. And I can see, I want to assure that we don't build in a problem with being able to get those minority reports out. And I know that's not your intent, but I would think that we either need to have some staff help or an assurance from LC that they'll get the minority report out with the minority report, or the ability to allow an individual legislator to draft and put an LC number on it.
I think
one of those three.
Sure. I think in terms of creating the record, I think we've done so with your comments, and that's certainly the chair's understanding and the chair's intention. And I'm certainly prepared, and I think we're all prepared to work with Legislative Council and our own council to make sure that happens. I will be the first to admit that I have been one of those who have requested the assistance of staff in preparing a minority report, and when that actually came to the floor and it was my motion, I chose not to make that motion, and I have therefore, you know, asked staff and LC to go through a lot of time and effort, and unfortunately there's an expense involved, and then not made the motion. Now that's, maybe each of us have been put in that position, but I hope we also appreciate that that is imposed at some cost. We don't want to discourage the preparation of any minority reports. We just want to try to do so in a manner that it's not going to compromise the work product of the full committee, but allow the opportunity to file those reports and work with LC and staff to maximum efficiency. I hope I try to lay those concerns, and certainly that would be how the chair would propose to administer this provision. Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, on another part of minority reports, if you're
sure.
Concluding with that, I was one of several legislators who had gone to Legislative Council to ask the question whether a committee could make rules more restrictive than the full House on a particular item. And it was my understanding that, and in fact I've read Legislative Council's full report, and I think Representative Miller has a copy, that they indicated that where the House has specifically acted on a rule such as minority reports, that a committee would not be allowed to have a rule that contradicted that House rule. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that Ramona is here, and it's my preference that this committee have minority reports that conform to the House rules. Mm-hmm. And so I would express that.
Sure. I appreciate that. And in anticipation of that question, Ms. Kennedy, who has, I believe, had a chance to review this issue with LC as well, and has advised other committees which have adopted similar provisions. Ms. Kennedy, do you think you could perhaps respond?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ramona Kennedy, Chief Clerk of the House. Yes, I also reviewed the Legislative Council opinion, and in fact, the way I read that, and it's in my opinion that you're right, that committees cannot contradict the House rules. However, in reviewing the House rules, the provisions under minority reports strictly express how to process minority reports once they're received at the desk. They do not at all indicate a number of who can file a minority report. But once a minority report has been filed, and under Mason's, that's a courtesy that can be afforded to the members of a body if that's their wish, that how the desk will process that information once we receive it. And that's all that is referenced in the House rules, is how the motions will be made and how they will be dealt with on the floor of the House.
Representative Bunn.
Well, Ramona, could you reiterate for us from the House rules Where, if any place, it talks about one member doing those things, or is there no reference to one member at all?
There is no reference to one member. However, in there was a new rule adopted that was written in the singular. However, that was dealing with timing, that in the final days of session, in fact, that the 48-hour rule that most committees have adopted, this House rule would supersede that and require that those be processed within 24 hours, basically, or in the next session day. So a minority may not have the ability to hold up, obviously, the majority if, in fact, a committee report were to come to the desk when it is apparent that sine die is imminent. The House rules do not speak to numbers. They are silent.
Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, you had indicated several days earlier that because a question had been raised at legislative council on this issue, that we would hold our rules for several days to consider, so we really had full opportunity to review. This is my first knowledge that the chief clerk is taking an opinion that, from my oral conversations with Tom Clifford, I view to be different than legislative council's. In view of that fact and that legislative council chief clerk difference may not have been resolved, I would request a courtesy of the committee to hold the rules over for another day or two while we have the opportunity to get both Ramona and legislative council here. And I say this sincerely, not as an attempt to delay the committee in any way, but simply to have full resolution between both.
Well, the chair is in a somewhat awkward position. I haven't had a chance to see what it is that Mr. Clifford has prepared. I don't know if that's something that's a limited or confidential distribution.
Not at all.
And I assume that Ms. Kennedy has seen it. And
yeah, I requested a copy, and I received one with the permission of the people who had asked for the opinion. I might like to comment, however, that I, in fact, sought counsel's advice in writing of the rules. And I had spoke with Kathleen Buffet, and she also was of the opinion prior to the drafting of the committee rule proposals that they were not in conflict. And in chatting with Tom Clifford, he said he had not had time to review the House rules to see whether or not he was of the same opinion.
Representative Dix.
Other committees have discussed the same rule changes?
That's correct.
And which committees have adopted these rules to date that you know of?
That I know of, agriculture, forestry and natural resources, housing, human resources, revenue and school finance.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Bunn, I have just had a brief conversation with the Vice Chair, and in deference to your request that we all have a chance to review Mr. Clifford's opinion and perhaps consider that with Ms. Kennedy's guidance this afternoon, what I would suggest, if Representative Hamlin would accept this as a friendly amendment, is that we adopt the rules with the exception of the matter in question, subsection 15, and take that up as our first order of business at our Friday meeting.
Certainly, Mr. Chair.
Would that be agreeable?
Chair, that's very agreeable with me.
That'd be agreeable to amend the motion that I made.
Okay. Representative Hamlin, I'll accept that as a friendly motion to accept the rules with the exception of section 15 relating to minority reports, and we'll put that on our agenda for the full committee specifically for this Friday. Is that procedure? Okay. Is there any further discussion of the rules, Representative Burton?
Well, yeah, when I since I have hearings scheduled this afternoon, I was concerned that we had any rules. I'll get us going. I know the House does its own
if
thing.
If we have minority reports this afternoon, we're in trouble.
But I know we do our own thing here, but do the same kind of procedures follow in the Senate or the joint committees like Ways and Means? How do they treat minority reports over there?
The Senate rules indicate that it's required to subscribe to a minority report, and that is part of their Senate rules and has been for several sessions. I have been informed that, in fact, Ways and Means do not afford the courtesy of minority reports, that they are not allowed.
At all.
At all.
However, they did once.
Mr. Chair.
They did once.
Representative Hanlon.
Can we get copies of this opinion?
I'll provide a copy to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I have a copy right here.
I'll run it along. Mr. Clifford's?
Yes.
Okay, we'll ask during a break, or we're going to be adjourning after we take this action. So one way or the other, copies will be distributed to members. Any further discussion on the rules and the motion as amended? Representative Bellamy.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just want you to know that I will propose an amendment to eliminate the words on that minority report with the Legislative Council draft. My thoughts on that is that you've worked with me and you know that I do not exercise unyielding power over staff, but I find it rather in very poor taste to say that we're writing our rules of a committee based on staff time. They're here to work for us. We're dealing with very, very complex legislation, and I would hate for something very, very important, like a couple of the bills that this committee is going to be dealing with, to come down to the point of saying, well, I didn't get my LC draft in, and that's the reason we didn't deal with a very important subject matter. And I'm going to object because it's probably the first time I've seen anything in the rules that deal with writing rules for the staff. And I think I can object as well as anybody because I do not abuse staff time. But I believe staff should help us, and it ought to be the committee chairman. If they have a timeline problem, it's got to be up to the chair to say, wait a minute, we've got to have these things. I think in the rules it's going to do some harm to legislation.
Appreciate your comment, Representative Bellamy. And again, it's the intent not to have the effect that you're concerned about, but only to hopefully make sure that the member who is submitting the minority report has had an opportunity to prepare it with LC in a form that they feel most comfortable, present that to staff, and then be assured that everything is go from that point on. And I guess to the extent that we're trying to help staff, really the extent to which staff is able to do its work, we all benefit, obviously. That's the underwriting concern. Any further discussion on the rules and the proposal or the motion as amended?
Mr. Chair, just...
Representative Hanlon.
I guess I don't understand where the abuse of staff time would come in on that.
We'll let you discuss that with Representative Berea. he's the one who suggested that we might find this an appropriate consideration.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Burton.
Just to add to that, I'm not so certain that it's totally a question of use or non-use of staff, as it is a lot of times just being able to get that in a format which is really usable. I think that may be as much of an issue as anything else, so it is understood. So I don't think it's totally. I agree with Representative Bellamy that staff is here to do work for us, but I think it's also a matter of just managing it.
The only thing that I say is that most of us, there's a few in here that have dealt with minority reports a lot, but I will say, yes, I know. In my first term I did, and I want you to know that minority reports often fall back on the rules. You're dotting the I's, you're there at 1 second before 5 o'clock, and when it's in the rules, I will bet you that rule right there will prevent a major piece of legislation to get into the floor. There's my objection.
Well, that's certainly not the intent, and certainly would not be the interpretation.
I understand that.
Sure.
I also take offense that we're writing rules for the sake of staff, because we're not here to take care of staff. They're here working for us, and I understand their position, and I respect them. But when you put it in the rules, it says something, and I don't think I like that.
Representative Miller.
I, Mr. Chairman, would like to echo what Representative Bellamy is saying with respect to the burdens of staff, and perhaps we could be influenced by recent legislation that has been introduced that would ask certain people to be courteous and respectful of staff, and maybe that's what we could just have that as a general framework within which we deal, rather than adopt a rule.
We hope those are the unwritten rules here all the time. Any further questions or comments? Is there any objection to the motion on the rules as amended?
Is it possible to file a minority report on this?
It's sure. Not possible until the rules are adopted.
Then this will be brought up on Friday.
The subsection or Section 15, the minority report issue will come up before full committee on Friday at 1:30. Okay, those rules are adopted as amended. Any further business to come before the full committee? Okay, if not, the full committee will adjourn, and subcommittee 3, Representative Hanlon, is due to meet at 2 p.m. right at this time. Okay, and subcommittee 2 at 3:30 to 5.